The new, the heavy, good heavy
they
metal.
Thrash.
Loud, fast, heavy, you know. It's different. It's great.
Kill 'em all.
That album is the best.
Ride the Lightning is the best.
Their music isn't like garbage, you know. They know how to get the crowd going. It's music.
They're just like us. They party, everything. They turn it up. They crank up the volume.
We saw the new wave of British metal that was coming out. We knew it was going to hit, like, you know, a couple years before. We knew it was going to hit the States fairly soon, so, you know, we liked doing it, and, you know, we were doing it down in L.A., and a lot of people didn't know what, you know, what the hell was going on. They didn't see any hairdos or makeup or anything. We're just going up there bashing it.
We do what we want to do, you know. If they consider that selling out, then whatever.
There's a lot of people think you sold out just because you're on a major label and are very popular.
Or maybe you don't play 1,000 miles an hour the whole time, or, you know.
I mean, we'd be doing the same thing if we were still on, you know, independent label.
The basic principles are like the same as they were, you know, 5 years ago when we were starting out in the garage. It was like on a bit higher level, like I said, you know. But I mean, still the same four idiots, you know, trying to stay in tune and stay on time.
You know what, not trying to be something big and fancy, you know, it's just us doing what we do. Let's keep it that way.
There's only one thrash band around that I know of, and that's Metallica. We're set playing tonight at 7:30, and I suggest that everybody gets down here right now to see the fire.
Hello and welcome to 60 Minutes With, a special soundcheck show with me, Chris, and I am joined by my lovely American brother from across the pond. It is Mr. Alan Sanders.
Hey, buddy. Yeah, the brother from another mother, the sister. No, not the sister from another mister. What the hell am I saying?
How are you doing? Sister.
I'm doing good. Actually, I have been so looking forward to doing this since... Do you remember when I first started, you know, chatting with you guys? Ben sort of, he's responsible for this, by the way, pulling me into your circle, your web of creative content that you guys do. And when you and I were, I can't remember what happened. It was something about Dave hating Metallica, and you said something about I love Metallica, and then you and I started chatting, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I found another fellow lover of this band, and I can't wait to talk to you about it. I thought, hey, we'll have a one-on-one one day sometime. Who knew that I'd be a part of the group when this decided to finally come to fruition?
Yeah, that sounds like a long time ago when that happened. And then all of a sudden, you came to me last week and said, how about, you know, when we was talking about Metallica on WhatsApp months and months and months ago, why don't we do a soundcheck show on it and discuss the band and discuss where our love for the band started? You know, what was the very first song that got us into Metallica, and then go on from there? And I started thinking, wow, that's a really good idea. Then we could maybe, I mean, you can't just do one soundcheck show on Metallica, because I mean, you know, it's Metallica. So then I started to say, well, maybe we can expand this into a series of soundcheck shows where we then, you know, we'll talk about our origins with the band to begin with, but then we can then review each album, or, you know, go through their back catalogue or all that kind of stuff. And then it's kind of grown from there, hasn't it? You know, it's really exciting. I'm excited.
I think I got more and more excited the bigger this project seemed to grow back and forth as we were discussing it, because my idea was exactly that, sort of the, well, what's your origin? Do you even remember the first song? Do you remember what your impression was? How did you get introduced to it? You know, because it could be plug in any band. It just happens to be you and I share this love. And I think we're going to find very similar stories, I think, about Metallica. But then when you said, well, do we do just one album? Do we do more? And I'm like, well, how about just an intro pilot? And then we'll take your idea, and then we'll go through, at least to a certain degree, maybe all the way up to S&M. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh my God, that'd be great. So yeah, Dave, our beloved leader of 60 Minutes With, is going to have to deal with the fact that not only are we talking about one sound check show on Metallica, but an entire series.
Yeah, and I'm mainly doing this just to piss Dave off, to be quite honest with you. Just because it's fun to do. Because I know he's not a big fan of Metallica. But the thing is, for me, Metallica are a band that you can clearly see an evolution, I think, in their music from the start to sort of like the later albums. You know, each album to me is fairly unique in terms of its sound. Some of the earlier albums, you know, sound similar, but then you can definitely tell the progression in terms of, like, I suppose, how more popular they became and just the music in general, you know. And some people love the early stuff and hate the more, you know, say the newer stuff. Fucking hell, I'm still talking about, you know, the 90s. But, you know, some people love the early albums, Kill 'Em All, Master of Puppets, etc. And then they hate, you know, the Black Album and Load, you know. So whereas I came into it sort of around the time of the early stuff, but then at the same time that the you know, the Black Album was coming out as well. So anyway, I'm rambling a bit now because I'm so excited.
No, you know what, though? I'll jump in if I feel like you're going too far off. I'm listening to you, and I'm just sitting there going, yeah, I feel like that dog in, like, the cartoons, like, yeah, what you want to do now?
Yes, but I am really excited to start this series. And as I said, it's going to be a series. We can't do just one episode on Metallica because that would be insane. But I'm taking your lead on this because it's perfect in terms of the beginning. Where do we start with Metallica? Because it could just be so easy to just, you know, just blurt it all out. So I'm going to restrain myself and I am going to sort of remind myself, this is the origin show, okay? So this is like how Batman became Batman, or how Bruce Wayne became Batman, I should say. Tell us, Alan, I'm dying to know. I know we have had a sort of conversation over WhatsApp, but tell people who are listening, where did it all start for you? How old were you? What was your time of life? What was going on? What was your introduction? What was the first Metallica song that you heard that made you think, holy shit? You know, you were doing something, you put whatever down, you're eating a sandwich, you put it down, you thought, fucking hell, that's a great song, or whatever was going on. Tell us.
So, you know, my buddy, met him in eighth grade, became really, really good friends. We loved playing computer games together, got involved with, we both had Commodore 64s, played Dungeons and Dragons at the time. That was the big thing. We'd have those weekend sleepovers. Movies like E.T. had already come out, we'd go see, and Raiders of the Lost Ark, Poltergeist. They had cable at their house. My dad thought it was going to be a fad and was going to go away. So we never got cable. So it was always, can I go sleep over at Eric's house? Because we would go watch whatever movie was going to be coming on cable. And in fact, I think the first time I saw Fast Times at Ridgemont High was at my buddy's house. And by the way, we're still lifelong friends, still stay in touch to this day. But my mom and dad got both relocated from Detroit, Michigan. They both, ironically, my dad worked for a company that was relocating to Atlanta, and my mom's company at the same time was relocating to Atlanta. So it made sense. They were getting a kind of a double dip package to move from one city to another. So we ended up relocating to Atlanta in 1985. So in 1986, the first summer after I got to this new school, new place, I was missing my buddy. We would write letters. I convinced my mom and dad, say, if they'll come pick me up, can I fly to Michigan and spend a couple of weeks with my buddy? And of course we worked it out and I was going to be able to fly up there. And so when I flew up there, my buddy was like, hey, you got to check out this album. It just, you know, it's going to blow you away. And he put the headphones on me and he goes, I'm not going to interrupt you. I want to just see what you think. Just this first song. And so I didn't even know the name of the album. I didn't know anything about it. I put the headphones on. And all of a sudden I hear like this really slow strum of an acoustic guitar. And I thought, well, this is just kind of slow, but you know, maybe it's kind of like that whole Stairway to Heaven, you know, start a little slow, build and build. Well, boy, yeah, it starts slow, but it didn't take any time at all to build to where it goes, because just as it goes from that melodic acoustic, we start getting the electric guitars coming in, playing that same melody. And then all of a sudden, as it sort of sets the tone, you almost hear that little bit of almost like the pin drop, like beep. And then, dun, 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 and it just goes 100 miles an hour. And I remember just sitting there holding my headphones going, oh, holy shit. How does anybody play that fast? I've never heard anybody play drums that fast, play guitar that fast, sing that fast. I was blown away. And the song was Battery from Master of Puppets, the title opening track. Just absolutely, it took my breath away on how good it was. So it was the summer of 1986, just after the album apparently had come out. Didn't know anything about them, had never heard of the name Metallica before, but my first entry, Battery, off of Master of Puppets.
Yeah, so I mean, it's, my story is remarkably similar to yours, but just like worlds apart in terms, obviously, you know, you being in America and me being in England, and we've all got that best friend, haven't we? You know, that sort of, that person that introduces us to new experiences and new things. And mine is a guy called Stephen Ashford, and we're still friends to this day, similar to you. He lives in New Zealand now, and he comes back to England every now and then, and we catch up, and it's great. But it was either 1990 or 1991. I actually asked him today, you know, when was the first time you heard Master of Puppets, the album? And he wrote back to me. I'll actually read out what he said. He said it was either 1990 or 1991. Not really sure I can remember, except that I hated it the first time I heard it. I listened to it in the car with my dad and brother on the way back from buying it in Wolverhampton, which is where I'm from, and was so embarrassed. But you had to stick with albums in those days because that was paper-owned money for the week. So basically, like, we were paper boys, you know, we'd go out and deliver papers for people, and they get, like, I think it was £6 a week that we got paid. So, you know, you had to stick with it because that was your money gone otherwise. But then he says, I remember after a game of football, putting it on quietly and then falling asleep. I woke up and Welcome Home Sanitarium was playing. I realised that I kind of liked that tune, so rewound the tape and listened to it again, and it all started from there. So that's kind of his origin story. But we have been friends since we were probably 5 years old, and I can still picture it now, me, you know, being in my bedroom, similar to you. We used to play video games together. You know, we'd play football all day, then we'd come home and we'd play video games. He lived across the street. We're in and out of each other's houses all the time. And I was sort of at that age whereby I used to I like pop music, you know, so I'd be 13, 14. So my favourite band growing up was a band called A-ha. Have you ever heard of them? I'm sure you've...
Love A-ha.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh my God, I love A-ha.
Should we do an A-ha podcast?
we'll follow it up to show we have a softer, more feminine side.
But no, so I loved A-ha, you know, from hearing Take On Me. I think that was back in 1985. And then, you know, grew from there. And then they did The Living Daylights. So I love James Bond. They did the James Bond song. So that, you know, that solidified my love for A-ha. Anyway, so I kind of like carried that on after that to, you know, 88, 89. But then I started to get into a bit more different types of music. So like Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction, a bit of Iron Maiden.
God, you and I share the exact same. It's like the same discography of discovery.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, and that's, I'm sure lots of people have kind of gone down that route. I loved Appetite for Destruction, still do, you know. But then Steve came over and he got this tape in his hand and he says, right, you need to listen to this. So he put it in, you know, music player. And I've been racking my brains what song it would have been that he played for the first time. I know it was a fast one, so it was either Battery, Disposable Heroes, or Damage Inc. But I've settled now on Battery. And he put it on, and similarly to you, you know, it would be like, well, this is kind of like, you know, slow guitar, what's this all about? And then it was like the kind of like the, it kicked in, and it just, then it was like, holy shit, what the fuck's this? And I think at that point, my musical taste just changed forever. You know, I kind of left behind the pop music that I was into, and then it was pretty much all about metal at that point, all about heavy metal and thrash and Metallica, and it just went on from there. And so I think this is probably a good point as any. We talked about Battery for a little bit. Should we play it for the listener so that they can hear it too?
Yeah, I think... let's hear. One thing I would just, as we go to it, the fact that it was that song for both of us, you said it perfectly, changed the way we approached what kind of music we wanted to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't stop listening to the other stuff, and I still to this day have such an eclectic mix of pop and rock and other things, but Metallica set a new benchmark, I think, for both of us, that for a while, all I was looking at is how do I explore more like this? And then at some point it meant going and finding other Metallica albums that I didn't know about. So yeah, let's go ahead. This is the song that converted both of us into Metallica fans.
Thank you.
my God, I haven't thrashed like that. I mean, were you a headbanger? Like, did you go to any of these concerts? Did you see, have you ever seen Metallica live?
You know what? I haven't actually seen them live. I bought the videos, I bought the music, bought the t-shirts, but I've never actually had the opportunity to go and see them live, which, you know, they've had different lineup changes over the years. One lineup changed quite tragically, but, you know, I've never actually been to see them live, and I would love to. You know, it's just, I've been to obviously quite a lot, you know, concerts and things like that, but Metallica were always at that point where they were massive, and I never had the opportunity to actually go and watch them in a sort of a local venue as such. And because I was at a certain point in my life where I didn't necessarily want to venture, you know, further afield, you know, up and down the country to go out and see them. So yeah, I've never actually seen them live. Have you seen them?
Yes, I have. I saw them during the Injustice for All tour, and I didn't get a chance to see them again. So I've only seen them once, but I have watched so many of their concert videos or watch any clips I could, and I always feel the same. Anytime I'm driving down the road or I'm listening to the music, I can't help it. I am still deep down a little of that little tween teen headbanger that just can't help but just, you know, pop my head up and down in time with the beat. And back in the 80s, it was great because I had this long hair mullet. It was great. You know, everybody wanted to have the long hair so you could thrash it around. And then you get the job and then you realize I better start cutting it back a little. But I've always kept a little bit longer hair than most. And so when I cut it real short recently, people were like, dang, you went for a change. I was like, yeah, I kind of feel like when James Hetfield cut all his hair off, it's like it's all gone. But I still love to thrash around. I still, to this day, if nobody's watching, and sometimes if my kids and the dogs are watching, who cares? I will just be, just, you know, yeah. I'm pulling like the Beavis and Butthead, you know, banging my head. did you ever do any headbanging at all for any band? Did you ever go to any kind of where you were in the middle of a mosh pit? Because I even, when I went to the Slayer concert, I got involved in one of those mosh pits and it was just ridiculous. Everybody just thrashing away and just, nobody hurting anybody, but you would swear everyone's dying.
Yeah, no, God, totally. I mean, so when I started to go to clubs, there was a club called the Dorchester in Wolverhampton, which then started to introduce me to like indie music and electronic music as well, you know, like the Prodigy and bands like that. But I'm jumping ahead a little bit here. But they would often sort of play band, you know, bands like Pantera or Metallica, and the place would just go fucking nuts, you know. and people were shoving each other and, you know, kind of going crazy. Been to concerts where, you know, you kind of, somebody in front of you kind of not stage dives, but pretty much does that. They get lifted up, you know, and they're surfing, crowd surfing above you, done all that kind of stuff. And yeah, the thing is, what I've always loved about like, say Metallica and metal music in general, that kind of like rock music, if you want to, but this kind of like, you don't listen to it, you feel it. That's the difference, I think. It's not necessarily a passive experience of just listening to the music. You actually feel it in as part of your body, and it's part of you. That might sound really like weird and trippy, but I've always believed that this kind of music, there's no other music that kind of that makes you feel that. Now, oh, clearly there is, you know, if you're into classical music, then you listen to classical music and you experience it in a different way. But for me, like this kind of music, it becomes part of you. And like you said, when you're in that kind of club or concert experience and you hear it and you almost lose control. That's kind of how it's made me feel. And Metallica were a massive part of that, you know, particularly sort of like the earlier stuff. And then even then later on, you know, with some of the later stuff as well. There are some songs that they always seem to produce that you just can't stop yourself. Mm-hmm. And there are plenty of them on this album, Master of Puppets.
Let me to just jump in about that, because I honestly believe if the music connects with you, it doesn't even matter what the music is. If you don't feel that sort of physical reaction, then it's not going to have that same effect. And maybe that's why we put this above others, because I love Beethoven as much as I love heavy metal. I mean, I'll put on Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, and when you listen to that final movement, the Ode to Joy movement, and you listen to the very end, I've told my friends for the longest time, I'm like, if you listen how fast that orchestra is playing, I mean, that's like the metal of the classic age. I mean, it is just energy. It just makes you feel like, dana, 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 dana. And you're just like, oh my God, like how did somebody who was deaf write this shit, you know?
Yeah.
And I've always felt that way. If music is making me feel like I have to move, or I have to air guitar, or I have to dance, or I have to just jot, or turn it up. Like, it can't be listened to softly. And it drives my wife nuts, because she's like, okay, you're not a teenager anymore. I'm like, I don't care. It needs to be as loud as I can play it.
Yeah, you can't listen to this quietly, you know.
No.
And similarly to you, like, you know, I've got a little bit less hair than I used to. I'm a bit older than I was even, you know. But whenever I listen to this album, I'm transported back to that time in my life where I'm still a kid. And it's great, you know. And also, you know, it's great music to run to as well. Because when you put this on, put Battery on, or put Damage Inc on, or, you know, Disposable Heroes, it's amazing how your pace quickens, you know, and you just run faster. Because it just, like you said, it gets you moving. I mean, not to dive too deep into this album, because obviously we may well do that at another time. But
I think we've established we must now.
Yeah.
I mean, if there was any doubt as we were discussing how we want to approach it at this point, yes, because otherwise this is going to be a 12-hour episode.
Yeah, but it is, to me, that there's so much going on with this album. There's not just the fast stuff. There's the you know, the slower stuff, the more melodic stuff. There are some incredible songs that, you know, the instrumentals. So that's the thing as well. When I started to discover more about Metallica, this is what I'm coming on to next, is so that was the first song, Battery was the song that hooked you, that sort of got you on the end of the hook and you were dangling. What was the song then, if you like, that kind of reeled you in? So if you, again, go back to that time, 1990, 1991, no such thing as the internet, you know, couldn't just go to the internet and type in Metallica and then have their whole back catalogue, go to Spotify, go to Amazon Music, whatever. You found out through magazines. For me, it would have been a magazine called Kerrang, which was like a metal magazine, or it would have been through word of mouth, through friends. And, you know, so the next album that I would have gone to was the album that was released before Master of Puppets, and it was Ride the Lightning. But before I get into that, Alan, tell us, so where what was the next song that you know that wasn't necessarily from Master of Puppets, because you already knew that you kind of fallen in love with that at that point, but what right. solidified the you know, the experience for you, or the love of the band?
Yeah, and I want to answer it kind of with almost a couple steps back into what you were saying. I almost feel like we could both monologue for like an hour and not repeat the same thing twice.
Yeah.
But I want to just jump in. Is you discovered with Master of Puppets, we touched on a little bit with their vocal quality, but then musically there was a range of different music, and then something hit me, because I was already into horror books, horror novels, horror movies. And so I was actually a fan of H.P. Lovecraft. And so when I had gone through Master of Puppets the first time, I was really intrigued by the song That the Thing That Should Not Be, because it sounded like and I didn't know at the time, but it felt like, God, it sounds like they're referencing something like Lovecraft, like That Thing That Should Not Be. And it turns out, and when we talk about this full album, we'll do a little more of the behind the scenes, but it turns out these guys were kind of well-read already, or at least had some sense of more than just, let's write about, you know, girls and drugs and doing stupid shit. It was like there was a depth to them already at such a young age. And then you start hearing how the harmonies are put together. And then you go back and you realize Cliff Burton actually had, you know, education in actual formal music theory. And he was talking to the guys about how we create harmonies and how we create the sounds that work well together. I was like, you realize looking back, there was something special from the very beginning. Nobody knew it, but something about them was special. But to confirm that, I also went back to their previous album, 1984's Ride the Lightning, and I got that and listened to it all the way through. And what hooked it for me, my number two song in this you know, intro episode that made me realize this band basically sky's the limit. And then they will be in my pantheon of favorite music bands of all time. And that was the final song that closes out Ride the Lightning, but Fade to Black.
Mm.
I was blown away because I had already heard Sanitarium, and I realized that they could write a more melodic, almost sort of like the purposefully slow ballad kind of song, but kind of do a metal version or a thrash version of a ballad. But when I read, and I say read because we had a cassette tape that actually you could unfold and you had all the lyrics, so I could read the lyrics while I was listening. And I realized it's a person who's ruminating about their lives before going to the electric chair. And it was so amazing. And I remember that here's this song that is so melodic, and here's this thrash metal, supposedly I scream everything, because that's what everybody said about thrash metal, right? Oh, they just scream everything. I'm like, you haven't listened to Metallica then. And when I heard the lyrics, and it ends with the last lines are like, yesterday seems as though it never existed. Death greets me warm. Now I will just say goodbye. And then it plays for like another 5 minutes. There's no more lyrics. It just plays the rest of the music and just fades out at the end. And I was like, these guys are something special. So
yeah,
I could have picked Sanitarium because it's got that similar kind of more vocal quality, more of that ballad. But when you go back and look at, because the album was produced much more quickly. They didn't have quite as much fame yet. They didn't have quite the stock in trade yet. And they still put out a song like Fade to Black together. Yeah, they were destined to be big.
Mm. Yeah, again, I haven't listened to Ride the Lightning for years, because my go-to albums generally tend to be Master of Puppets. If I'm going to listen to Metallica, that's the first one, because like I said, it transports me back to a time in my life that, you know, it's something special for me. So, but the thought of doing this podcast has actually, I've gone back to Ride the Lightning and actually rediscovered it. And like you said, Fade to Black being such a brilliant song, and it feels like I'm discovering it all over again for the first time, which is awesome, and it's a brilliant choice. It is a cracking song, really, really is. That's the other thing about Metallica is that, and I know Dave will hate this, but you know, fuck him. he's not going to listen to it anyway. Is that it's. That they make or produce, like, the songs always felt epic as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, in such a way that, in length, yes, in some ways, because some of their songs are like 8-9 minutes long, but they felt so, like, sweeping almost. You know, they would take you, you know, start, you know, low or start high and, you know, take like a roller coaster, you know, you'd be ups and downs, and it would feel like, so epic.
The number of timing shifts, just in the timing, the drum beat will change, the melody will change, the guitar sound will change, and then it will come to a third change, and then it will circle back around. Absolutely. I jokingly say, that Beethoven would have been a metal artist if he was alive today because of the energy. But I fully believe that just like Beethoven has movements within each of his symphonies, Metallica has movements in almost all of their songs. I mean, especially some of their early longer songs. And then, you know, when I even looked at all of the songs for Ride the Lightning, which again, we'll save for another day, but you know, you listen to Creeping Death and you go, oh my God, that's about, you know, Moses's day and about, you know, the Jews trying to escape from under the Egyptians' reign. And then you realize the Call of Cthulhu. And then you go, oh my God, of course they were, at that point, it was confirmed. They had a background in H.P. Lovecraft, For Whom the Bell Tolls. You know, here's this famous work of literature. They're using this title that everybody knows. And I'm like, these guys are, you know who they reminded me of? The British band Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
Where they could just talk about history, or they could talk about events, and they could talk about even like the epic poem Rime of the Ancient Mariner. I mean, that song's 15 freaking minutes long. And I am mesmerized because they're taking these works of literature or works of art or just these times in history and putting it to their kind of music. And you realize to just give them the label of, oh, that's just a screaming metal band, is to dismiss them for the talent they have. Just because you don't like maybe that kind of music doesn't in any way mean that they're not talented.
No, there's a lot of depth to them, like you said, that, you know, scratch below the surface, and there's a lot going on there. Well, for our second song then, shall we play it? Should we play Fade to Black?
Yes, let's go ahead and let's all take a chill from Battery and hear the dying moments of a man who is just about to be electrocuted.
Thank you.
Oh, see what I mean? It just, the song, like the lyrics end, but the song, it's not over.
Yeah.
It's not over at all. Oh, just brilliant. Let me ask you then. We'll flip host role for just a second. Since you asked me what was sort of like that second song that confirmed, and it was by going to their previous album and realizing there are so many good songs on both albums that this was going to be a band I was going to get whatever they put out next. What was your second song that you said, it, maybe not the second song you heard on Master of Puppets or that was good, but that you discovered, yep, this is a band I plan to follow for a while?
So for me, it was like similar to you, went back to Ride the Lightning and really enjoyed the album. But the song that stood out the most for me was For Whom the Bell Tolls. It's the way that it kicks in, you know, that's a do-do-do-do-do, you know, and then, it starts off with the bell tolling, doesn't it? And then it's like, you know, all of that. And then Metallica, they do a lot of songs about war, don't they? That's fair to say.
Mm-hmm.
Although in a lot of ways, in terms of, I guess, its structure and whatever, this is a relatively simple song in terms of, say, compared to a lot of the other Metallica songs. But it's just, it's one of those that sort of like that beat, that sort of like, again, that I've listened to this when I went for a run the other day, and that driving beat just keeps you going and it just gets you up. And I've always loved For Whom the Bell Tolls. I just think it's such a great song. I love the lyrics. I love the sound of it. It's just, it's awesome. You know, there's no other way to sort of describe it. There's, you know, after listening to Master of Puppets and loving that whole album, this was the next song on Ride the Lightning that made me think, yeah, I'm all in with Metallica at this point.
You had the Ernest Hemingway novel For Whom the Bell Tolls, about a soldier fighting in a guerrilla in the, I think it was the Mexican-American War. Yeah, it's on the tip of my tongue. But you know where the phrase "For Whom the Bell Tolls" sort of comes from? It was a sermon by the pastor John Donne.
Yeah,
and he once said, "Any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee."
Wow,
the fact that Metallica, okay. For anybody who's already thinking, hopefully at this point you've started to wake up and realize, okay, I may not like the kind of music, but you can't dismiss the talent or the depth, or at least some of the education these guys had to go and find the history of, and then write about that sense of death, and that bell, it tolls not just for the person who dies, it tolls for anybody because we're all connected. It's all mankind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, like I said, there's, you know, the depth. I'm learning new stuff, and this is just kind of making me love them even more. You know what I mean? Because I didn't know half of that stuff. What you've just said, if I'm being perfectly honest, I just thought it's a fucking good song. But
it is a very good song. You know, that's there's nothing wrong with that, to say, God, that's fantastic, and not know the depth, but then, when you do scratch below the surface and realize it's more than just a thin veneer, that there's actual like mahogany underneath. It's a really rich, wonderful piece of music. And it's well written. It's well crafted. The music is fantastic. And it is powerful. When you've got those actual, like the tolling of the bells repeating in the song, it's epic. It's like you said, it's almost like operatic.
Mm. Yeah. And that's it. I mean, that's the song that I just thought, yep, I'm here. This is Metallica, and I guess that might be a nice way to sort of like end this show. Obviously, we're going to play For Whom the Bell Tolls, but also just to entice the listeners to come back, because, well, in our future shows, we are going to be talking about the albums in a bit more detail, the songs in a bit more detail, the songs that we loved. I don't have any amazing facts or figures about Metallica particularly. I can only talk about the sort of the music that and the songs that I've loved over the years. But we are going to go through them, aren't we? That's fair to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. We'll have to figure out how many songs we do play off of each album as we go through some of that early discography, yeah. At least in my mind, at least through S&M.
Yeah, because it's going to be tough to narrow it down. And we even talked about that a little bit, about how we sort of maybe we can have like pick our favorite songs and have a little bit of a battle, have a face off against each song, and then just pick one which, you know, try and convince each other which is which is the one that we should play on the show. So that's
you know, the problem is we probably could argue that every one of the songs is worth playing.
I know. That's the thing, and when you were sort of talking about this, you know, with Master of Puppets in particular, it's sort of like, well, they're all really good, you know, I think you summed it up perfectly well. Just pick the first one that you heard, and then it was like the second one that got you into it. So also, it's going to be fun as well exploring the later stuff, you know, Justice for All, Black Album, if you want to call it that, Load, Reload, because there are Metallica fans who really don't like that stuff, you know, and then also going into S&M, you know, because we've talked about that as well, haven't we?
Oh my god, it's one of the most amazing. I got it for Christmas when it first came out as a double. I got the sort of the whole box set where it was the DVD and the double disc, so you could listen to it in the car or you could watch the whole thing. And it is still one of my all-time favorite sort of concert videos that I like to put on and watch, because it's the late Michael Kamen. I mean, here's a guy who's writing, you know, soundtracks for things like the Lethal Weapons movies and other things like that, who says, "Hey guys, I think it'd be really cool if we put a symphonic version of your show on for the San Francisco audience where you're from, and we'll use the San Francisco Philharmonic." And then I'm already ready to talk about that, and that'll be at the very end of the series, because the fact that these guys didn't even practice until they got there and only had one dry run, and yet they still pulled it off. And you got all these people wearing like their tuxes and their dresses that are in the orchestra, and they're jamming, and Michael K. Oh my God, it's just, I feel like crying. I'm so happy. Like when I watch it, I just feel like I wish I had been there. It's just an amazing experience.
It is. Yeah, it is. It's awesome. It really is. I think it was the, I'm jumping ahead, but I can't help but not mention it. I think it was No Leaf Clover. When I heard that on one of the music channels, and I was like, fuck, what's this? This is amazing. And then, you know, obviously then bought the double album and the double DVD as well. I think, was it double DVD? Or anyway, I've got that on DVD. But yeah, we'll get to that.
Just amazing stuff.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. You know what I was going to say before, because we always want to end with, I guess, play the song so we can just, we'll let whom the bell tolls, because the bell literally will drift off as the song ends. I know we've got some business to do first. One of the things I do want to say is, as we've sort of started this series, I want to throw out there for all of the listeners of this episode, hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on the 60 Minutes with Twitter account or our individual, or tag all three. I'd love to know, and I'm sure you would too, Chris, if you are a Metallica fan, even if you're only a mild fan, or if you're like rabid fans like us, what was your first remembrance? Like, what was the first song you ever heard? And I'd love to hear, well, what was the song that sort of hooked it for you? You realized, you went back, and sort of like what we did with this episode. I think it'd be cool to hear from our listeners.
Very cool. And I already teased before we recorded tonight, saying looking forward to recording with you about talking about Metallica, and just put like the symbol on there, like the snake from the Black Album. And already people are chiming in going, "Oh, looking forward to this," or, "Oh, Metallica were crap at that point." You know,
oh, I can't wait to go toe to toe with the people who think they're crap. I want them to listen to this episode and then have the balls to say they're crap.
Yeah, but there you go. I think that's a nice segue. So if you want to do that, if you do want to contact us, then do so on Twitter at 60 Minutes With. We have a website, which is awesome, which is www.60minuteswith.co.uk. Alan, tell us a little bit about yourself in terms of where they can find you, where they can hear you, other than 60 Minutes With.
Yeah, I always feel weird, though, because this is a 60 Minutes With show, and to turn around and plug a different podcast. But you guys discovered our show that we do in a different, complete different kind of format We use a movies by minutes format where we break a movie down. Each episode is 1 minute of the movie, and we just talk about that 1 minute. So the episodes are not 1 minute long. Everybody always says, you mean they're only 1 minute episodes? No, no, no. We only do 1 minute of the movie per episode. But we do a Gene Wilder movies, and so we're called The Wilder Ride. Everywhere you look, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, our website, it's The Wilder Ride. Very easy. It's all consistent branding. So you can just go and check that out. But the first season we did Young Frankenstein. Second season we did Blazing Saddles. Unfortunately for us in season three here, my co-host had his mom was very, very sick and eventually passed away. So we lost a lot of time. And just as we thought things might get a little bit back to normal, we were dealing with some other issues that were sort of on a worldwide scale. So who knows what's going to happen for season three for now. But you can find me, Alan J. Sanders, on Twitter. I am involved in talk radio, so if you might want to be careful following me there. I do get involved in a lot of what's going on in current events and news. But at the same time, if you're willing to have a conversation, that's what it's there for. If you want to hit me up on my Facebook page, it's The Alan Sanders Show. And you can find that on my open Facebook public page. And then I'm also a host on 60 Minutes with The Rant Show, which I love doing. I get to lead folks in discussing things that just really tick us off, sort of the things that get into our, you know, that just get into our craw. And we just go, oh, that's irritating. And the more recent brand new episodes that just launched, I get to do it with you, Chris, and our good buddy, Ben, the ABCs of Forging Ahead, a show that really focuses on how you can maybe approach life with a more positive attitude.
Yeah. And that's awesome. And so, yeah, I'm loving doing that show. Loving that I discovered you guys and your podcast and just really yourself. So, you know, it's great. We've got this WhatsApp group, haven't we? We talk to each other all the time. And it's been, what, about 12 months or so since we, you know, kind of became friends and discovered each other. So that's cool.
It's definitely longer than that because Dave and I were talking during a Super Bowl, and then we had the next Super Bowl we talked through. So I think it's been almost 18 months.
Jeez, wow, that's flown by.
It may have been even longer now. I have to go look, but the joke was when I first discovered you guys, I truly binged about 10 hours straight going back and listening, and I have not missed an episode. I went back and listened to a whole bunch. I'll be honest, I didn't go all the way to the very beginning, but I am so hooked. There is not one episode I don't like.
Wow. And look where it's led. Yeah. Well, first of all, you're still sane, which is good.
well, maybe I wasn't to begin with.
And then also, you know, look where it is now, how many different shows you're on, which is amazing. I love that. I love that about
you. Yeah, but you know what? More importantly, I have met some fantastic friends. You, Ben, Tina, Chris, Adam, you know, Tom, the whole 60 Minutes crew, Steve just added to the group, so getting to know him a little bit. But you know, you and Ben, definitely, we all have very similar views on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Love Dave, love Tina. It's just, I'm just thrilled to be the foreign voice on your podcast.
Awesome. Well, there you are. So yeah, check us out on all those places, and we will be back at some point in the near future to talk a bit more about Metallica. I should also say, if you have enjoyed the songs that you've listened to on this podcast, then please go out and buy the albums, go out and buy the songs, support the artists, because they've worked really hard to make these amazing tunes. But thank you for listening. This has been brilliant. That time has flown by, and we'll see you next time. But we're going to finish off with For Whom the Bell Tolls. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.